Hey guys, welcome to episode 15 of Fit Friends Happy Hour. My name is Katie, and last week you heard my side of the story about how I became a fitness professional. Now this week we're flipping the tables and I am going to interview Lauren, and we're going to hear about her journey to become a fitness professional. Let's get started.
Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour with your hosts, Katie Hake and Lauren Wrighton.
Happy, what is it, Tuesday? I almost said happy Wednesday.
Happy Tuesday. The week going for you? Slow or fast?
It's going very slow, and I wish it would go faster for reasons I cannot yet disclose.
Exciting weekend plans.
Yes. How's your week? How's Sammy?
She's good. I think actually she's getting a little bit of a cold, so she doesn't get sick very often, but it hasn't been so bad.
Yeah, my niece Caroline is with us this week, and man, every time she's with us, I just think of you and I'm like, I don't know how Lauren or any mom does it.
That's what I thought when I first became a mom. I was like, wait a second, this is really freaking hard. Like, why aren't people talking about this? People are. I just wasn't aware of it.
I always joked when you said like you couldn't get stuff done. I'm like, I don't get it. Like, she's at home. And then I babysat Caroline and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't even like go to the bathroom without looking at her, holding her. So I get it. I feel you now.
Yeah. It's ever changing. It's exciting.
Well, let's get right on with the episode. So if you guys listened to episode 14 last week, Lauren was interviewing me about my journey to become a fitness professional. And I'm really excited for this week to ask you a lot of those same questions because we have a very similar but totally different pathway. And whether you want to become a fitness professional or wherever you're at, I think we both will give you some really good insight of just the different opportunities and the different things that'll happen. So what was your background or what was your journey to even get into fitness? So where did that start? Was it high school? Was it grade school?
Yeah, so it was high school. I moved around a lot as a kid. So in middle school, I lived in Tampa, and the school that I was at, they didn't have any sports. So I had done sports like earlier on, but then middle school, I took a huge break. So then when I moved back to Indiana for high school, I couldn't really get onto a sports team. Not that I really wanted to, but because of that, my mom eventually signed my sisters and I up for ballet memberships, which is like a big gym. It's no longer in existence. So when I was about 16, I started going to ballets and taking all the group fitness classes. My mom had done group fitness, so I was kind of familiar with it, but I totally fell in love and I loved it. I never thought that I would do it full time or anything. It took me many, many years to get to that point. But yeah, in high school, I was, you know, going every single day during the week. And the way that I became a instructor was because one night I went to a class that I always went to. It was a Pilates class. And the instructor got caught in traffic. I'm pretty sure management was like, sorry, the class is canceled. But a lot of the, like a handful of the regulars, including myself, they were like, Lauren, you should just go up and teach. For some reason, I wish I remembered more details, but like they just told me to go up and teach, so I just did. And that's how it kind of all started. Now, that first time, there was no pressure because it was just like basically friends. But then I eventually got trained through Bally's. I basically paid them $300 to give me a Bally's certification, which meant zero when I moved on from there. But yeah, that was my first certification through their group fitness manager, just her and I. At that point, it was the summer after senior year. That's kind of where it all began.
That's hilarious. I didn't know that was your first, like, quote unquote certification, whatever you want to call it. That kind of leads me into my next question. So since I know you said your mom bought you the membership and kind of got you guys started. So what was the perception of like health and fitness in your family growing up? Since you and your sisters were so close in age and your mom was into group fitness, was it always just a normal thing, part of your life?
My mom did jazzercise when I was growing up and she had a lot of DVDs and my sisters and I would do all of her DVDs, mainly for fun. My mom worked out at home eventually. She wasn't like a gym goer. But yeah, that was my perception, was like exercise was important growing up and so was healthy eating. My parents have a very like balanced perception of what healthy eating is. My mom was always just trying to educate us so that we could take the reins, you know, never forcing or never like pushing us into things, but just like trying to give us the resources.
I love that. It's crazy looking back at how much our upbringing affects in a positive or negative way how we react to health now in our age.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got your certification in that weird transition from high school to college. So you didn't go through the same program that I went through at Purdue. You just kind of like got jumped right into it. You were like rock star onto step aerobics. Here we go.
But actually very far from being a rock star. So what happened was I went to Purdue and I was like, oh, I'm definitely teaching group fitness here. And I approached the group fitness manager, who is our friend Whip that you mentioned last episode. I approached her. She was at a drinking fountain and I approached her and said, hey, I want to be a group fitness instructor. And she wasn't yet a full-time staff at Purdue. She was a graduate student. So it was just kind of a weird situation where there was no system of training instructors. So I was like, I'm already a group fitness instructor. I've been teaching. And she was like, okay, well, you can just start teaching next semester. So the second semester of my freshman year, I just started teaching. Like, they didn't put me through anything. Well, I was terrible because I knew 32 count. If you're in the fitness world, you know what I'm talking about. But like, I had no idea how to like design a class. Like, I was teaching step, but it was just like, I was just memorizing stuff and I didn't really understand how to design a class essentially. I'll just leave it at that. So, oh my gosh, the first class I taught at Purdue, I ended 15 minutes early because I just like ran out of stuff. I was just like, see ya.
All right. And now we're going to stretch. And we're going to hold a basic right for 20.
I probably had already been doing core and stretching for like 15 minutes prior to that. But it was like, okay, students, today's the first day. It's syllabus week. And we're just going to let you off early, even in your fitness class. Yeah.
That is hilarious.
So Whip wanted to create a program so that she could put students through training. So she said she was going to do a workshop that was focused around ACE, which is a group fitness certification. And she asked me if I would lead it with her. I don't know. God knows why she asked me. I was not qualified. So she started this program and I was like helping her lead it, even though it was people my age or older than me because I was a freshman. So it was a really weird dynamic because I was just in this like position of seniority that I didn't really deserve. But I'm a confident person, so I pulled it off, or I pretended to pull it off.
So hilarious because she did the same thing to me when I got there. Like my sophomore year, she put me in a leadership role, like evaluating people who've been teaching for like 20 years.
Well, it is one way to learn. Just jump into the fire.
Whip, if you're listening, we didn't understand it at the time, but we love you for it now.
We appreciate it now. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I feel like I just then took the next 3.5 years of college to develop my skills. And I almost quit at the end of freshman year after doing that initial semester of teaching and learning as I was going. I am not comfortable with not doing an awesome job at stuff. Like, I want to be perfect at something the first time I try it. I'm just going to admit it. That's who I am. So I really struggle with stuff that I struggle with. And so I almost quit. I was like, this is stupid. Why am I even doing this? I'm studying biology. I'm never going to do group fitness full time. Like, this isn't going to be my job. Why am I doing this? And I almost quit. And I just like decided not to quit on a whim. Like, I didn't, I was just like, or maybe I'll keep going. And I kept going.
and thank God you did. Okay. So yeah. You're studying biology. You just kind of, teaching was just kind of in the background. So you're full-time fitness now. So tell us a little bit about what was the moment when you decided that, okay, this is my thing. This is going to be a thing.
Yeah. So the moment happened the summer before my senior year of college. So I've been teaching for a couple of years. My goal professionally was to graduate with a degree in neurobiology, go get a PhD, and work in like some sick ass high rise and just like feel like a BA because I was going to have this big girl job and I was going to like, it was just going to be super cool, right? That was like the perception I had. And the thing that I had to overcome was the idea that working in fitness wasn't good enough for me. I thought that I had to do something really hard. I thought I had to, like, you know, go and become a PhD and then get an MD. I was in this mode of, like, proving how smart I was. And I finally realized that, like, nobody cared. My parents weren't pressuring me. It was just me thinking that I had to, like, prove to somebody that, hey, I'm smart, so I have to do the smartest thing that I can fathom. Instead, I was reading a personal development book. It was Brian Tracy, Goals. It has a longer title, but it's like Goals, blah, 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 blah. So I was reading that book and I was like filling out the questions as if I was going to be a PhD. And he asked the question of, like, what's, like, that one thing that you, like, talk to people at parties and you read magazines about it? And I realized, like, I would never talk about neurobiology to people at a party, and I would never, like, in my free time read a book or read a magazine about neurobiology. And I thought about that, and then I went home and had, like, this awesome workout. I did Turbo Fire, and at the end of Turbo Fire, I was just sitting there and I was like, this is it. This is it. And so I completely changed my trajectory from that moment.
That's awesome. I wish all the moments of my life were that much clarity like that.
Right. That's, yeah, right.
Just like one question and that was it. That's so true, though. I think so many of our listeners can probably relate to that, where it's like you have this built up pressure in your head. And then if you take a step back, you're like, wait, no one's actually forcing me to do this. It's all in my head. It's just what society is telling me.
Even if you have, like, unfortunate pressure coming from your parents or something, at the end of the day, if you follow the dream that they have for you, that might not make you happy. And it's no one else's responsibility to make you happy. So you have to take the reins.
So true. I love that saying that you control your success. Like, if you're unhappy with your life, then change it. Yeah. That's all on you. You're a big girl.
Yeah.
All right, so you had that epiphany after that book, and then did it happen when you went back to college, or what was that transition like?
So I was at school that summer. I was working in a research lab, all things that I was doing to prepare to get into grad school. So I was at school, and I remember calling my dad and being like, Dad, scratch it all. Like, I can't do any of this. I'm going to move to Colorado and I'm going to work at Starbucks and I'm going to figure my life out. And he was like, there's other things you can do than work at Starbucks. Like, he was like terrified of me just like peacing out and working at Starbucks.
That was totally my backup plan too. I was like, it's fine. Like, I'll just work at Starbucks. I've always wanted to do that anyways.
I know. There's like a part of me that still kind of wants to. I'm like, well, I could do like the 5 a.m. shift.
I mean, we've got our food service background in Jimmy John's. We get the food service area.
Exactly. I love coffee. I love waking up early. Come on.
Okay. So you went back to school.
Yeah. From there, I started looking into different majors. Like, okay, should I change my major? I was going into my senior year of college. Like, it was not the time to change my major. So I looked into changing my major to nutrition. And I figured out that I would have to go 2 extra years of college. So that's not going to work. I knew that I was going to finish off with my biology degree, and I applied to the master's program at Purdue in nutrition. Because I had all this research background, it was a possibility that I could get a master's in nutrition, and then I could just go from there with being like an RD. So I applied for that. I did not get it. But at the same time, I went to a fitness conference, Lead On, in January of my senior year. So this is like towards the end of my senior year, and I have no idea what I'm doing, and I'm like such a planner. I was just like, we'll just see what happens. So I met some people there, and they were telling me about internships that are fitness internships. And I applied to fitness internship at Butler and a fitness internship at MIT. And I got the one at MIT, and it was just like a freaking miracle, because I don't know where I would be if it wasn't for that. I mean, it was meant to be for sure.
So first of all, you had no idea what you were doing, and then you just come out of nowhere, bam, scoop up an internship at MIT.
Yep.
Right? So just threw everything away, but just like totally switched directions and moved to Boston right after graduation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I graduated, moved to Boston, and then like 2 weeks. And in a big sense, I did just throw everything away. You know, like everything that I'd been studying and I'd been working for, I just completely trashed it. And it's funny though, because I can, whenever people look at my resume, they're like, oh, neurobiology. They like think that has to, it has to do with the body, yes. But like, it's not fitness at all. Yet I just kind of weave it all together and people are like cool with it. It gets me jobs.
That's hilarious. What did that feel like then? Just, I mean, was that overwhelming? Was it stressful? Was it exciting? Like, I almost have like a panic. Like, just what was going through your head?
It was so liberating because I'd been making decisions based on someone I didn't want to be. Where I was going was not somewhere that I really wanted to end up with. This whole time, I like wanted the career of my dreams, but I always knew that I'd want to stay home and take and raise my children. And I was always trying to reconcile that in my head of like, what is that going to look like? How am I going to be this badass woman boss, but also be the stay-at-home mom? So I was also trying to figure that out. And fitness was so much more flexible in terms of, you know, staying at home and such. So it was very liberating. And I don't remember being stressed out about it. I was just like, we'll see.
Just like, well, now I have an internship at fitness, so this is fun.
Yeah.
All right, so let's fast forward. You moved to Boston on your own. You didn't even know, like, anyone, right? You were like, peace out, on my own.
Yeah, I didn't know a single person. I ended up rooming with the other intern at MIT. And yeah, I had two bosses that were incredible, like the coolest girls. They really took me under their wing, and that's really how I survived. It was a crazy year, packed with a lot of good and a lot of bad, but it was an amazing experience.
Side note, if you are in college and you are just, this fitness thing is just floating in your brain, or you just have a slight interest, I so encourage you to attend a fitness conference like Lead On, like FitFest, wherever you're at. I'm sure there's one in your area. You meet the coolest people and learn about just crazy opportunities that not even necessarily all related to fitness, but it definitely puts you in connection with the right people, I think, in the right time of your life. Wouldn't you agree?
I would so agree. And at that point that I went to the fitness conference, I still didn't think that fitness was good enough for me. I did not go there looking for professional contacts, but I just talked to people. Any opportunity you can take to dive deeper into your passions and to see where they can take you, I would recommend.
Right, whether fitness or not.
Yeah.
So, all right, Boston, you got engaged. You came back to the Midwest. I know you had a lot happen. Walk us through this next stage of your life.
Yeah, so quick overview of like the next couple of years. Yeah, I got engaged. I moved to Chicago, worked at a all-women's gym, also worked at a chiropractic office. David and I ended up moving back to Indianapolis, which was something that we really wanted to do. I took a job at a call center, essentially, completely unrelated to fitness. I was like, you know what? I don't know what I want to do. These fitness jobs are hard to come by. I'm just taking a job at the place that my sister works. And I hated it after like the first week. But I was just like, it's paying the bills. It's paying the bills. And I just started working on trying to find a fitness job that I could really use my passions. So I ended up finding a corporate fitness job. So I was managing two gyms at two different companies. Sometimes it's hard for people to understand. If a huge company has like a small gym that their employees can use, I was managing those gyms. And that's where I was up until Sammy was born.
You've definitely, I think, been on a lot of different roles of fitness. So you've taught group fitness, you've managed fitness settings, managed fitness employees. You didn't mention you're also a personal trainer. So you did personal training while managing, correct?
Yes. I also forgot to mention that when I was in Boston, Boston University was looking for instructors to teach their PE classes. Well, one of my bosses told me like, hey, if you're looking for another job, you could go teach at Boston University. Her name was Lauren too. So when I went to Boston University, they thought that I was her, and she's like a high up, and I had no idea. Like, I wasn't perpetuating this, but they like were treating me so well, like as if like, oh my God, it's so nice of you to come teach. Like, they gave me like the highest rate. They told me they gave me the highest rate. And I was just like, why do these people, like, do they think just because I'm like MIT intern that I'm like the shit? Like, what's up with this? I finally pieced it together months after I was hired.
Oh my gosh. That is hilarious.
Yeah.
That's lucky you didn't realize it till later. Because if you would have realized it sooner, it would have been awkward. Like, what do I do? Do I tell him? Do I not tell him? Do I act like I'm her? What do I do?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, anyway, back to what you were saying. Yeah, when I was managing, I was doing personal training. I started doing personal training and because that's what they were looking for. They weren't looking for really group fitness classes there. They were looking for small group training. So that's what I was doing there.
When you got pregnant, did you know, because I know you said further back, you had always known that you wanted to raise your kids, that you wanted to, whether that meant staying home or whatever that looked like to you. After you went on maternity leave, what was going through your brain? Were you thinking, okay, I'm going to go back? How did you process all that?
Yeah, well, right whenever I finished college, I slowly started realizing that I really wanted to own my own business in fitness. And that's where you and I launched into all of our aspirations. So that has been a thread that has gone through all these jobs, was trying to figure out, like, what kind of business do I want? What can I offer people? And I'm still trying to figure that out. So whenever I got pregnant, I was like, okay, well, shoot. Now I really got to figure it out. And when I got pregnant, I knew that I did not want to work full time. I am so stubborn that I was just like, no, I'm not working full time. Like, I just know we can live in a trailer. I don't know what we're going to do, but I'm not working full time. So, and it's funny because people now, they tell me like, oh my gosh, you're so lucky that you're a stay-at-home mom. And I'm like, dude, I just didn't go back to work. You just like, literally quit.
It's just a decision.
Yeah, just quit your job. No, I joke because I am very lucky. I am very lucky. But literally, that's how I saw it. I was like, let's just make the decision now and work out the details later. So I knew that I wasn't going to go back. I wasn't quite ready to like admit that because I wanted to have that as like a back burner option just in case when I had her, if there was issues or something, that I would have my job in case. But I knew in my gut that like there was no way that I was going to be able to go back, and like staying home with her is definitely the right thing for me, for sure.
Yeah, I love that you say that's the right thing for you. Not bashing other moms, like everyone's got their own situation, but just snaps to you for just saying like, that's what feels right in my heart. And like, that's what my gut tells me is to stay home. That's huge. I think that's really courageous.
Well, thanks. Being a mom is freaking hard, as we said in the beginning. So everyone has to do it their own way.
So I know you're teaching now. What is your favorite class to teach? Since you've taught pretty much everything, what's your favorite class to teach? What's your style?
My favorite class to teach right now is a strength class. I love teaching people how to lift weights and like how to have fun lifting weights. But yeah, right now I'm teaching part-time, actually at three different places now. I just got a new job. So teaching at three different places, three completely different places, which is really cool. But I'm pretty much teaching strength with like cardio burst type classes.
So a little bit of HIIT.
Lots of high intensity interval training.
I love that. You get to be athletic yet fun, and I feel like you can be your own self when you teach that type of class.
Yeah, you can dance around and you get little breaks so you can actually get through an hour class. I don't know about you, but like when I work out at home, I only do 30 minutes. So like when I'm in a class, I'm just like, girl, I need a lot of motivation because 60 minutes is a long time to work out.
I'm kind of getting over being sick, and I had to teach P90X, which is more like a cardio strength. And then right after, I had to teach a turbo kick class. And I normally teach like 45 minute turbo kick. This was a full blown hour. I can't tell you how many times I had to go check the stereo and fix my mic in that hour. I was dying.
That's hilarious.
Let's grab water. I know you're struggling. It's okay. All right, while we wrap up, I have a couple more questions for you. First question, because you asked me, and I think it's so important for our listeners who may be at that same stage where you are, what advice would you give to Lauren, junior, senior year, figuring out her life? Like, what would you tell her to do? What's the biggest advice you could give to her?
I would say ask yourself those hard questions. Like, if I had never read that personal development book, I would never have questioned what I was doing.
So ask yourself those questions. What makes you happy? What makes you feel fulfilled?
Yeah, and even the one that really got me was what you're doing professionally. Is it something that you're passionate about? And not all people think that their jobs need to be their passion places. Like, you can be super passionate about snowboarding, but your job is in finance. And you're like, I work so that I can have an awesome time on the slopes on the weekend. Some people have that view, and that is one way to look at it. But I knew that in order for myself to be all into my job, I would have to do something that I was passionate about.
You and I are the best and worst people to be around when it comes to that, because I feel like we just fuel each other's fire. Like, if we're not all in, if we are not like fired up, passionate about it, we just like, what am I doing with myself? I'm a waste of space if I'm not fulfilling out my purpose.
Yeah.
It's really frustrating.
I think I take the like, tomorrow's not guaranteed. I think I take that too seriously, because I'm like, you guys, why are we working 9 to 5 if like today could be the last day that we're ever alive? It's terrible.
These stories are for another podcast. Let's leave it at that, right?
Yeah, because we don't know anyone else that's like us. There has got to be listeners out there that are like, oh my God, that's exactly how I feel too. So we'll have to do a separate podcast on this.
All right. And the last question is, I know you're almost living your dream that you are at home with Sammy, which like couldn't be more awesome. You get to spend time with her and you still get to teach fitness. But I know you know me, I know you've got more things brewing in your head. So where do you see yourself both, let's put it out, 1 year from now, and then as well as 5 years from now?
I think the thing that's missing for me right now is feeling like I'm helping people that are like me. Like, I teach group fitness classes and I see people that get results, and I see people that are changed by fitness, but I would love to help someone that was like me. There's just something about that I'm like, I want to inspire people to be better and to follow their dreams like I am. So in 1 year, I hope to have this business that I've been dreaming up for, let's see, 5 years now. I hope to have 100% more clarity on how I can help people, because that's what I'm struggling with. And then in 5 years, I would be almost done with building my family. That means more kids. Now that I like have a kid, I'm like, oh my God, I don't even know if I could put a number on it. But David and I want a lot of kids. So in 5 years, I hope that I have my own business still, and that I am somehow graciously balancing the two, because Lord knows that will be an awesomely fun adventure.
Can I just put this out there in the universe? Because 5 years, like, it's far away, but it's not that far away. So I'm just going to throw this out there in the universe that in 5 years, we've always talked about this in our group of friends, of having a brick and mortar studio that just is awesome and everything. I think that we will have our own some type of studio where we're physically helping people.
Yes.
In five years. Yes. Just our own little fitness community, fitness family.
Yes.
Ah, that would be so awesome.
5 years from now. So write it down.
We are now accepting an advanced membership. So if you want to sign up, just send us an email and we'll get you the early bird VIP discount.
The best deal will go to you guys. That is for sure.
Any other final tips or words of wisdom for our listeners?
Well, with your episode last week, after editing it and listening to it again, I thought, you know, the big takeaway for me at least was perseverance. You just kept pushing. And I feel like the big takeaway from mine, and maybe you could tell me if you get something else, but I think the biggest takeaway or the biggest message is just not being afraid to step outside of that comfort zone of like trying to prove that you're smart and doing some job for somebody else. It's just following your heart and what really is going to fulfill you.
I think too, being okay with not having a plan. It's all going to work out and everything will come full circle, and just trust your gut, trust your heart that you're doing the right thing if you answer those questions that Lauren said earlier. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. As always, we love to hear what you think. Make sure you hit subscribe so that you get notified of our latest episodes. And feel free to send us a message at Fit Friends Happy Hour on Instagram. Email us, however you want to get a hold of us. Let us know. Write us a review. We'd love to hear from you. Otherwise, have an awesome week, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.